Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. On today's episode, I'm going to be finishing off the story of what it was like to be out on bail and waiting to get sentenced. And I just want to say thank you to everyone listening who's been following along so far and listening to my stories and sending me, you know, messages and just all the things. So I just want to thank you so, so much because I'm doing this to inspire others and give hope to others out there who may be going through or have been through similar situations to know that they're not alone and that the things that we have been through no longer have to define us, and we can move forward and we can achieve amazing things in our lives. So if you listened last week, you'll know that I told you a lot about the experience of getting out of jail after being arrested and then not really knowing how to live my life with not knowing what was going to happen next in if I was going to go to jail or, you know, what my life was going to look like long term. I couldn't see it because it was unknown. And, you know, I tried really hard to do good for myself. I wanted to go back to school. I tried, you know, working a job. I tried so many different avenues, but at the end of the day, I never felt like I mattered or that I was good enough for anything but what I was getting. So after thinking about that, about myself for so long and then getting arrested and going to jail and seeing the things that I saw and experiencing all of these horrible things, I fell into being so down on myself that I no longer saw any worth in myself. So when I ended the conversation last week, it was around the time that I met a man while I was stripping at a club. And I met this man. I knew he was like in the club, but I didn't really ever talk to him that I can remember. But one of the women who I had become quite good friends with while working there, she was dating his best friend. So she thought, oh, you guys would be perfect for each other, and just saw something in both of us that we would, I guess, be a great couple. And, you know, honestly, like at first we were. Like he really helped me through some hard times. He helped me, you know, get a place on my own so I didn't have to live in the hotel anymore. Like there were a lot of things that he did in the beginning that I thought he loved me and cared about me and, you know, was going to help me no matter what happened because I told him the story of what happened to me. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, pinpoint when it all changed, but I remember it changing and I remember not feeling safe or secure with him. And I didn't want to be stripping anymore. I wanted to get a normal job and start providing for my son and have a normal life. Like I was really exhausted from it all. I just didn't want to keep doing it. Because of not wanting to do it, I wasn't making any money anymore. It was very grueling on me, very hard to keep going at this point. And so I figured, you know, I have this guy and he can provide for us, so I'm safe to stop working for a while. And in doing that, I thought I was headed in the right direction. And I thought, if I can just, you know, go to court for my sentencing hearing and say that, yes, I made these mistakes, but now I'm cleaning my act up. I'm sober. I've been working. Like I was scrambling, you know, because I thought, oh no, like it's happening now. And what do I have to show for myself? I've done nothing to better myself. I've done everything to further solidify that I was not a productive member of society. Like I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't working a job where I was paying taxes. I wasn't trying to learn new things, you see, but it wasn't good enough. I always felt like every time I would start something, I never would finish it. I would get a job interview for a job that I really wanted that could have been life-changing financially for me then, but I wouldn't go to the interview. Or I would start thinking about getting a real estate license or go to beauty school, but then I would think about the fact that I had to ask that hard question, you know, like, can I get licensed or can I actually have this job when I have this potential sentence right in front of me? So I no longer felt safe in my relationship. I no longer trusted anything. I no longer trusted anything. I felt so lost and alone, and I just wanted to end it all. I told myself that I could just end it and leave this world because I wasn't doing anything good for anybody anyway. But then I started to feel sick. I was like, well, maybe I have the flu. Come to find out, didn't have the flu. I was pregnant, and that pregnancy saved my life because I wasn't going to end her life. I only wanted to end mine. And then sentencing day came, and I remember what it felt like to walk into that courtroom knowing full well that the other side of this fear wasn't going to feel good. It was hard not to cry the whole time I was in there, knowing that that could have been the last time I got to walk freely for years to come. I remember that we all had to stand up and apologize to the victim for what we had done to him. I remember I didn't want to apologize to this man. I didn't want to say I was sorry after what he had done to me. But there was that voice inside of my head that said, even though he did what he did to you, you still need to apologize for what you were a part of, for what happened to him. So I did. I did what we were told to do, and I apologized for any pain I had possibly would have caused him. You know, there's some things, that I've been through that as I speak them, I don't know how I held it together back then, but I did. I listened as the judge rolled on each of us individually, and then they finally got to me, sweating again, shaking, holding back tears. I get told that I'm sentenced to a year in county, and I looked behind that, but he let me, I had like, I can't remember how long it was, maybe a couple of days because of my son. So the judge didn't make me immediately go to jail that day. I did get to walk out and get things together for my son. But I remember walking back into where, you know, the audience would sit, so to speak. And that guy who I was with, the father of the child I was now carrying, was there. He didn't embrace me. He didn't tell me we would get through this. He didn't tell me anything. I just remember crying uncontrollably in front of strangers, families of the others that were involved, who had it way worse than I did. But it hit me so hard that I was going to lose a year of my son's life. I was going to lose the ability to do all kinds of things with my life, that I would never again be free. So I don't remember exactly what happened over the next couple of days before I had to turn myself in. I just know that I asked his dad to take care of him while I was gone, and he agreed. And then came the day that I had to turn myself in. I mentioned earlier that I was pregnant when I was being sentenced, and so they offered me what's called work release. So you're still in jail, but you get to leave for like appointments or if you had a job, you can work. But I had to pass a drug test in order to go there, obviously. And I'm pregnant, so I had not touched drugs or alcohol or even a cigarette since I found out I was pregnant. So I knew that I was clean. And they give me this cup and say I had to pee in it. And would you believe, couldn't pee. I couldn't. I remember sitting there and they kept giving me water to drink. And, you know, I literally could not pee. So they could not allow me to go to the work release program for at least the next 30 days. So what I thought was going to be me going in and then moving over there turned into a little bit of a longer stay than I had anticipated. I was torn. I felt everything that I had worked myself up to, like it's going to be okay, like I'm not going to be in main population, like I'll get to wear my own clothes and, you know, all these things. Now I'm being faced with the fact that I don't know if I'll ever get out of main population and county jail. What if they forget about me? And I remember walking, felt like the longest walk of my life, walking to turn myself in. I so desperately wanted to run the other way and never look back and change my name and live a new life somewhere else. But I knew I had to do this because this was my punishment. It's what I deserved for what I did. And then going into the courthouse, I just had so much fear that I couldn't avoid. I had to face my fears. I had to go in there. I didn't have a choice. I mean, I did, technically speaking. You always have a choice. I could have ran, but running away is not the answer. So I did. I turned myself in, and they walked me down to the bullpen, which is where you sit to wait to be transported to the jail. And all I wanted to do was crawl into a ball and hide. But I kept telling myself, Amanda, keep it together. You don't want to look weak. You don't want them to know that you're scared. You don't want anyone to know that you're sad. Well, I was crying, and then I got made fun of for crying. I learned quickly how to survive. I wiped my tears and waited there silently until I was brought up to main population. I will continue that story of my experience in jail for longer than a week. I just feel that from this story, I learned so much, and I want you to learn these lessons with me too. When we're faced with a fear that we can't avoid, like turning ourselves in to jail or, you know, taking ourselves to rehab to get better, things that when we know the other choice that we have leads us down a path that we truly know we don't want to go on. And the lesson is that we have the strength to conquer our fears, even the scariest ones of all. Because we are never given more than we can handle. Whether you believe in God, whether you believe in the universe, whether you don't believe in anything, we are never given more than we can handle. It may feel like that. It may hurt like hell. It might be the hardest thing that you think you'd ever have to experience. But you got this. You can handle it. You will come to the other side of it. You will be able to tell the story from the other side. And also, I learned that not everything is always going to go my way. I lived, you know, this life of feeling like I could just make things happen the way I wanted them to. Like me get in trouble, yeah, okay, I'm, you know, that's never going to happen. Or, you know, me lie and get caught in a lie, I can talk myself out of it. Like I literally thought that. I seriously thought I was not going to go to jail again. Thought, you know, it's me. Like I'm not going to go to jail. Like I had this underlying arrogance about myself. And no, I didn't outwardly like say these things, but these were thoughts that I had. And just know from me to you that not everything is always going to go your way. You're not always going to pass go and collect $100 or $1,000 or whatever it is in Monopoly. I honestly hate Monopoly, so I don't even know why I use that reference. But not everything's always going to go your way. But guess what? That's okay. Accept that. Sometimes we're going to hear no, and that's okay. Sometimes people aren't going to agree with us, and that's okay. Don't stop living your life because of it. If we put it into a different perspective of looking for a job and you really want this job, but you got told no, they had picked someone else for the position. Don't give up. Keep looking because your job is out there. You meet a man and he ends up not being the man of your dreams, or you meet a woman and she's not the woman of your dreams. Okay, Grieve the loss, but don't give up. Somebody is out there waiting for you too. And the affirmations I have for you from today's episode are, I will never give up on myself. I will never give up on myself. I am okay with things not always going my way. I am okay with things not always going my way. And my favorite, well, one of my favorites, say this one too. I am enough. I am enough. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you're liking what you're hearing on the Let Good Things In show, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts so other people can know that this show is one of your faves. To everyone listening, remember, you are stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine, regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show, and I will talk to you all soon.